Let's pray. Your Spirit is here among us, Lord. We know that. We just ask now that our hearts will be open to the indwelling of your Spirit as we hear the words that will be shared today. May we receive the words that we most need to hear and apply them to our lives, making us closer to you. Lord, I ask that your Spirit will use me now as I share the message. Pray this in your holy name. Amen. The story is told about a man who died and went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gates by the apostle Peter, who led them down the golden streets. They went past mansions, beautiful mansions, until they came to the end of the street, where they stopped in front of a shack. The man asked Peter why he got a hut when there were so many mansions he could live in. Peter replied, "I did the best I could with the money you sent." Ouch. Yes, it's that time of year again, my friends. It is stewardship time. The time of year when you're asked to support your church. You will learn all about the upcoming budget, you know, that paper filled with items that need to be paid for, and the numbers that tell you how much each of those items cost. For many people, this is not the most popular time of year or the most popular subject to address when it comes to the church. But let's face it, friends, the reality is that it costs money to run a church. I think a good place to start our reflections on this topic is to ask ourselves, what is the church? Is it a building? In the early parts of the Old Testament, they didn't meet in a building. We find that during the period of time when they were transient, they worshiped in a tabernacle, a portable tent-like structure. Have any of you ever been to the tabernacle up on Route 30 in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania? Oh, we might need to take a field trip. They have a tabernacle up there that they built in inside a facility that is just very interesting to see and hear about how the people worshiped at that time. Later, when the Israelites were more settled under King Solomon, they built a temple in Jerusalem. It was a permanent, a practical, and a very elaborate structure. You can read about all the details of the temple in 2 Chronicles. The temple was said to have a great quantity of gold, silver, and bronze, and other precious metals. The temple consisted of several layers, with the most holy place housing the Ark of the Covenant in the center. If that same temple was built today, the cost of the gold and the silver alone in Solomon's temple was worth $216,603,576,000. Yeah, wow. This doesn't include all the precious metals, bronze, iron, ivory, or cedar wood used in the temple. Now, Solomon did not pay for this out of his own pocket. Maybe probably contributed a lot, but many people contributed time and resources to build it. And when the temple was finished, we read in 1 Kings chapter 8 about the dedication of the temple. That's why the temple was, they built it to be God's home. That's why it was so elaborate. They believed that the temple in Jerusalem was the one and the only place on earth where God could be properly worshiped. The temple was believed to literally be the house of God. Nobody could enter except the priests, who were regarded as God's personal attendants. And even they couldn't enter the Holy of Holies except for the high priest on particular days. The common people, you and me, we remained out outside in the courts where they sacrificed their sheep and their oxen according to the prescribed rituals. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Every male Jew of 12 years and upward was expected to go up to Jerusalem to meet God at least 3 times a year. And it's no surprise then to us, or it shouldn't be any surprise to us, that Jesus, even as a child, would go to the temple. And later, synagogues were built in various locations to make it more convenient for people to worship. Jesus went to many of those synagogues to teach God's word. When we get to the New Testament, the conversation about church changes a bit. Jesus began teaching that he was the living temple, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God with humanity. So when Jesus hung on the cross, having completed his work, do you remember what happened when he died? You remember? The curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies to everyone. This was a spectacular sign from God that the old temple worship was finished forever. God could be worshiped everywhere at any time. So what became of the church then? Well, we got this little word that emerges. It's in the New Testament, ecclesia. It's a Greek word that gets interpreted as church. But as is so often the case with Greek words, there's a deeper, richer meaning to the word. According to Strong's Concordance, it is a body of believers, not the building. It's a body of believers whom God calls out from the world and into his eternal kingdom. In other words, the church is not a building. It's the people called out by God to carry his presence through their daily lives. The church is you and me. And that doesn't mean, though, that we don't need a place any longer to worship. We certainly do. And in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament later on, they did actually start meeting in places, in homes. They started to meet. Paul speaks about 3 different times where people were meeting in homes, and they were called the church, but the church, again, was not the building. It was the people. It wasn't until much later when people started building special buildings used for worshiping God. The earliest known church building is the Dura Europus. Yeah. It was a church which was converted from a regular house in around 233 to 256 AD. And then much later, when the Brethren came along, we were meeting in homes, but then we built little simple meeting houses. And eventually, like Christians all over the country, we started to build large facilities like ours here at Hagerstown Church of the Brethren. But remember, we learn from the scriptures that the church really is not the building. It is the believers who meet in it. The Ephesian text we heard this morning says it so eloquently. I just love this. It says, "Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. We are the church. We are where God makes his home." Now, the question might arise that, well, if we're the church, why do we need these church buildings then? Quite frankly, I think we do need them, even though we are called the church as people. I believe the evidence points to the need for our buildings for worship, because once people go away from the church, they don't come back. They don't come back. And then they end up oftentimes losing their faith. Brian Kingslake, author of Out of This World, Lay-bys on the Road to Heaven, wrote in an article titled, Do We Need Church Buildings? The fact that we discipline ourselves to attend services in certain buildings, he writes, at a definite hour and take part in a certain ritual, which has evolved during the ages, can help to preserve and protect our spiritual consciousness. To depend entirely on one's own resources to maintain one's own spiritual vitality is beyond the capacity of most of us. Structure, yes, structure can get in the way, but without any structure, there is a tendency for our thoughts to dissipate and degenerate into trivia and superficial or sentimental nothingness. We need to get together with our friends from time to time to fill our tanks at the filling station, so to speak, to recharge our flat tires. Our church provides this kind of a space for these kinds of things to happen. I've heard it said of late that this building is becoming nothing but a money pit. Have you heard it? This building is becoming nothing but a money pit with all the repairs that we need to have done to it. Well, my friends, let's face it. It's an old building. It's going to need some repairs. But think about all that has happened over the years because this building still exists. Oh, my friends, if these walls could speak. If these walls could speak, imagine the stories they would tell. They would tell us about people who have found Christ and left him into their hearts for the very first time. They would tell us stories of spirit-filled worship, children memorizing scriptures, choirs singing or playing bells, and making our congregation's hearts soar to God. Meetings for planning ways to, yes, meetings, I did say that. Meetings for planning ways to reach out to our community, Bible studies, providing a place to come and to pray, love feast, bonding through laughter and games, sharing of testimonies. All of this happens. If these walls could just tell us all about that, I can't imagine how much they'd have to share. But the Spirit of God goes with us when we leave this place too. And we're leaving a legacy here. This place is so much more than a building. And when we need to take care of it, both the church building and the church, which is us. And one of the ways we care for these is through our stewardship, our financial support, our giving of our time, and sharing our talents. I'm not a numbers person. Chris has heard this often from me. So I wanted to try to come up with a way to present a visual for this. My thinking was to take the numbers that you see on the page and the items that are listed on the page of the budget and create a visual illustration. And I did come up with something, and I hope it will be helpful to many of you. If you can look over here, we got the church first. We got this building, okay? Whoops. And you're going to start to see things appear that are ministries. These are things that are listed on your budget. These are ministries. Oh, we got the electric, we got the organ, we got the garbage truck. We got the air conditioning, the secretary, we got the janitor, we got all of these, the snowplow, we even got a furnace. Isn't there a furnace in there somewhere? Well, there's one on the one out back here. And there's you. And as we contribute to the care of our, or to our needs here at the church, all of those items that you saw on the outside originally moved to the inside of the church because they're us. They're us, and we're supporting them. We're supporting ourselves. I created a poster similar to this PowerPoint, and it's sitting out back here in the narthex. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be moving some things around because I understand pledge cards are going to go out. They haven't gone out yet. You'll be receiving, I don't think they have they? No. But they're supposed to be going out, and you're going to have an opportunity to make a pledge to support not only the upkeep of this building, but also to support the church, which is you and me, and the ministries God calls us to do. And as pledges come into the church, I'm going to be moving items from the outside to the inside of the church. I encourage you to prayerfully consider making a pledge as you are able. We are the church. The church that houses God within us. The living church, called to help build God's kingdom. So let's be the church. Let's be the church. Amen.